Hey everyone, Future Gabe here. Before today's episode, I wanted to let everyone know that we have listed a link to the Middle Eastern Children's Alliance to help provide emergency funding to the families forced to leave their homes in Gaza. Our donations will go towards hospitals and other emergency relief centers. We encourage you to please donate and help those who are suffering. Please remember that this is a humanitarian crisis and we must do our part. The link will be in our episode bio and will be on our social soon. Thank you, and on with the show. Hello, and welcome back to Bottom of the Barrel, the show where we trudge through the absolute filth that is the bottom of cinema. My name is Gabe.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Jake.
Why was that? Oh, it take it took so long. if you didn't hear, we got the return of Daniel for season two.
Yay! Whoop.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm very excited to talk about movies again.
Hell yeah!
We're very excited to have you back.
Yeah,
and this was a good movie to start on.
Yeah, It's a great one. I'll talk about it here in a second. But Katie, how are you doing?
You know.
All right.
Take a deep breath for this. I'm okay. I got a new tattoo a couple days ago, and I'm loving it so far.
Nice.
If you did not see that on my story, I'm not sure how you did not, because I posted like 3 billion times about it. It's my newest personality trait. I had a rough day at work today, so I'm excited to relax by talking about this movie with everybody.
Nice.
Yeah. Daniel, and well, I guess we already heard how Daniel's doing.
Wow. Daniel, how are you doing?
God damn.
Jake?
I can go again.
Yeah.
Jake.
I'm mostly fine. I've had a cough that's persisted for like almost an entire month now.
Ew.
And I hate it, and I've taken so much medication to try and fix it, but none of it has worked. So I've just been trying to deal with that.
Oh, damn.
Everybody, prepare your ears.
How are you, Gabe?
Prepare your ears? What?
Everybody prepare their ears to hear Jake coughing into the microphone.
Oh.
At some point during this.
Hey, man, as long as we don't hear Jake sneeze into the microphone, I'm good.
Isn't that
No offense, like, Jake, but
I mean,
that
it's
still
just
sticks
a scream.
With me.
Like, my sneeze is just a scream.
It's not even a sneeze, it's just a holler.
A holler. Hootin' hollering.
Hootin' and hollering.
I'm also okay. Yeah, we start back class this week. That's kinda it. Just been vibing.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
But what is impressive is the movie we're talking about today, which is the 2021 film. 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, 2019's The Fanatic, starring John Travolta, directed and co-written by none other than Fred Durst himself.
Hell yeah.
Let's kind of go around and actually, no, I don't want to hear everybody's thoughts because we'll So this movie is an interesting one for sure. It kind of came out really under the radar and then got picked up by some like cult movie fans and were like, hey, this movie is weird, but it's actually a lot of fun. And we don't know how to feel about it entirely, but it's a movie that exists in the year of our Lord, so.
It does.
Yeah. What's everyone's kind of general thoughts about this before we dive in?
Going into this, I looked it up while I was at work, and first of all, the poster is really cool looking. I didn't expect it to look that cool. But the trailer was kind of playing through, and I was like, wait, this is actually a good looking movie. Like, this looks like it's going to be really interesting. And within, it had to have been within like 5 to 10 minutes of watching this, I was like, holy fuck. John Travolta is the best part of this movie. So I'm really stoked to talk about this. I have a lot to say, but I want to hear everybody else's thoughts.
Yeah.
I really like when I first started the movie, I wasn't sure how I felt about it. But as it went on, I was really impressed, especially by John Travolta's performance. I thought that the script was pretty good overall. I think my biggest issue was probably the implications. Like, we can talk about it more later, but there's a lot of media that has, like, autistic adjacent character accidentally kills someone as a story beat.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm with you.
So I'm a little on the fence about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the biggest knock against this movie.
Yeah, my experience with this movie is at first I saw that, like, apparently it was based off of a real life incident.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched the movie, and I think I have like the worst viewpoint on this movie out of us right now, because it wasn't a movie for me. I found it was I don't know. I think there are aspects of it that I do like and I do enjoy, but overall, it's not really a movie that I just care about that much, to be honest. Unfortunately. Yeah.
Valid. Yeah.
Yeah, we are hot off the press watching this movie, as we are most times.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just finished this, and it's a breezy 88 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a very short movie.
It drug mm-hmm. along at any point yeah. during the film. I thought it moved along at a pretty good pace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We start out with this, like, narration from Moose's friend.
It's like weird.
LA,
it's,
like,
it's weird, yeah.
Oh, what is it?
I don't even remember, but it's like about Hollywood.
Yeah, she says something about, like, LA.
It's full of bullshitters, but who am I to talk? I live there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, what LA speak are we talking right now?
And it goes on for a couple minutes, and about halfway through, I was like, what are we talking about here? What is the purpose of this?
It felt like narration for, like, a graphic novel instead of, like,
yeah.
It felt out of place.
Yeah,
when you said a second ago, Gabe, that it felt like it had a good pacing. I agree for the most part. I think the worst part is the first 20 minutes. I think it's kind of slow. That voiceover is a little bit, like, out of place. And it happens, like, 3 times, and then they forget about it.
Yeah,
I kind of agree with that. I feel like the voiceover narration had almost no part in this,
especially since, like, it's not Moose talking; it's just his friend who's in about 2 scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care much for the narration.
Yeah.
I want to talk about John Travolta for a second. Okay. Now I have a confession to make.
I got a confession to make. Sorry.
For a long time, now, I need you guys to understand, when I was a kid,
oh boy,
I did not watch very many movies. It was whatever my dad had on, that's what we watched, okay? So for a long time, the only thing I knew John Travolta from was from the movie Wild Hogs.
Okay? Oh, no.
John Travolta from... Now, I told Gabe we should do an episode on that because it is a terrible movie, but it makes me laugh every fucking time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Going into this, I was like, damn, I am not sure how I feel about John Travolta playing this, like, pretty serious character. And then about literally, like, it could only have been about 15 minutes, and I was like, holy shit, he sells this thing. Because, I don't know, the entire time, I believed him. Now, we talked, Daniel, you brought it up, that the implications of an autistic character with the whole, oh, I accidentally killed somebody trope. Mm-hmm. I don't like that either. And I blame that on the writing. I blame that on mm-hmm. the writing. But to John Travolta's credit, I think he portrayed this character very, very well.
Yeah.
We can blame the writing as much as we want. What's that?
You can tell he did a lot of research. Like, the mannerisms and stuff he did is very much, like, you know, Autism 101. So you can tell he's done some research.
Definitely. There, I think the biggest things, like the easiest things to notice is like the rocking back and forth that he did through the entire film.
And it doesn't, at least for me, it never felt mocking.
No, exactly. It was never over the top or like...
Like it felt, because I mean, you know, we all know autistic people in our life. And it, it was about as close, I think, as a non-disabled person could, I suppose. But also you have the argument of like, non-disabled people shouldn't really be playing disabled characters like that.
Sure. Watching this, I was like, holy shit, I've met, or I know people with those same mannerisms, you know, I recognize those mannerisms from people in my own life, you know?
Yeah.
So I think writing aside, he did a really good job with this character.
Yeah. His performance definitely feels sympathetic. I think the writing feels sympathetic for the most part as well. I think it's just the implications again of like, that's a trope that's existed for a long time where someone who has a mental disability or a mental disorder can't understand that they killed somebody and they're but I like that it kind of flips it on its head at the end where it's like, oh, the asshole actor realized that he was a fucktard.
I don't know if we can use fucktard in our
that's fair. I'll reword it, sorry. Where you have Goose, you know, get approached by this really terrible, awful actor who like brutalizes him, and the actor's like, "Man, I'm a fucking terrible person."
Excuse me. Did you call him Goose?
Yeah, he's called Goose.
Moose. Is that not his name? Moose. Oh my gosh. Moose. Yeah, you're right.
With an M.
I'm sorry. I'm
a Did you write fan. Goose the whole time?
No, I wrote Moose every other time.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay, gotcha. I genuinely thought like you thought his name was Goose. And I thought that'd be really funny.
To your point about like the this type of character like accidentally killing somebody not realizing it, it reminded me a lot of Mice and Men.
I was literally about to say like that's kind of, I don't know if it started it, but that definitely.
That's the biggest thing that reminded me of.
Mm-hmm.
But. Anyways, I just wanted to make a connection there. Continue on.
Yeah, I just think that having it be that the asshole actor is the one that takes the fall for it, I think is the only redeeming thing about it. Like, Moose isn't the one that took the fall, and that was the end, you know? There's a little bit of nuance.
This may be an incorrect opinion of me, and please feel free to disagree with me in any way, but I did not like that ending.
That's fair.
That he didn't face any consequences besides blasted off fingers and a missing eye for his actions. That the actor still took the fall, even for something he didn't do. He took the fall for a woman that Moose murdered. Yes, he was an asshole, but he took the fall for murder when Moose should have gotten consequences for his actions.
Yeah. And I think too, I think too that the actor, like, because the whole thing is since he brutalized a disabled person, like if he comes out and tells the truth, are they going to believe him? But that doesn't really matter because they're going to do a DNA test on the blood on his shirt and realize that's not hers.
Yeah, like, his fingers are, like, at the scene.
Yeah, his fingers are still at the scene.
So it's like unlikely that Moose stays free forever, and that was the one thing where it's like, is the movie trying to make us believe that he didn't get caught?
That's what it seemed like, because Mia talked about, like, in the voiceover, that his, like...
Mia is the friend.
How his missing eye and fingers became like his badge of honor, and it like implies with the last like drawing card that it became a costume for him while he was working on on the boulevard.
Yeah.
And to me that implies that he didn't get any consequences, that it never caught up to him.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That moment towards the end where the two tourists are like taking a picture with Moose as he's like bleeding out, like it weirdly had it was like striking symbolism for a movie that
certainly did not have to have symbolism, because I feel like it kind of nails the theme, or like the thematic statement of the movie.
Sure.
So I was kind of like a little taken aback. I was like, wow, that's Fred Durst should not have this in a movie.
Sure.
But yeah, this is the story of a guy named Moose, played by John Travolta, who is obsessed with collecting autographs. He's like, I have to have the next big autograph, and you know, I have to sell it off to this dude in a pawn shop who gave me this jacket that belongs to Hunter Dunbar, who is the celebrity, who is the only character who has a last name in this movie.
You're right.
And he goes to Hunter Dunbar, who is played by Devon Sawa, who I've met, and he's cool. And he goes to this book signing, and then obsessively follows Hunter Dunbar like into the alley talking to his wife. And then so begins a journey of obsession.
To talk about Hunter for a second, if we can.
Sure.
Because we've just dissected Moose for a little bit.
We dissected a moose here on Bottom of the Barrel.
So I want to talk about Hunter. Granted, he was an asshole. To Moose, he was an asshole. However, he was a good dad, I think. I think in his relationships to his ex-wife and to his son, I think he was a good dad. And he was a decent guy. But, but
I think he's at least trying.
Definitely. And I think you're 100% correct that he is an asshole to Moose, for sure, and brutalizes him, but he's a good guy to his family. At least he's trying to be.
And I think that's what the movie's trying to like show, that like there's a duality to man. Mm-hmm. Nobody is like holistically a bad person. No one's holistically good, whether you're disabled or not. You know, Moose wasn't a bad person, but he did bad things. The actor wasn't a bad person, but he did bad things. And that's where it's like the trade-off. I think Hunter Dunbar is like, holy shit, I can't believe I was capable of doing that. And that's probably why he doesn't come clean at the end. Because he's like, I think I'd rather go to jail for the murder of this woman than like people know that I brutalized a disabled person. Was my take.
He definitely seemed to have been struck by his own actions whenever he stabbed Moose. He definitely seemed the like stepping back and sitting down and then helping Moose to his feet. He definitely seemed to have immediately come to terms with his actions and realized that, oh shit, I didn't realize that I could do that.
Also, objectively, this movie's bad.
Objectively, like, yes. But we're getting super deep here.
But yeah, and that's kind of why I said that, because like we're talking about it. And it's like, it's good conversation, but like with a lot of interesting things in it, in this movie. Mm-hmm. But it's like objectively really not good, because it's insane.
But why it's not good.
Yeah.
Gabe, take us through why it's not good.
This movie is so... I had to disagree with you there, Daniel, about the writing. The writing is the worst part for me.
Okay.
Like, there are so many bizarre lines that John Travolta is given. There's a scene where Devon Sawa and his kid are rocking out to Limp Bizkit, which is the most shameless self-plug I've ever seen in a movie. And it has a kind of a mixed message about what we're supposed to feel. The narration doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as Travolta kind of played this character, it is so bizarre. Like, it's just, it's such a bizarre, it's also quite literally a ripoff of Stan, like the Eminem song. Even to a point where John Travolta is writing a letter to Hunter Dunbar, and it's almost identical to Stan. And which another irony in that is that, you know, Devon Sawa played Stan in the music video. So like just so many things going on at once. Yeah. It's just such a, also nothing really happens. John Travolta kind of just breaks into the house and uses his toothbrush and just, yeah, kisses him and leaves.
Yeah, and then he accidentally murders a lady.
Yeah, he accidentally murders the maid, which Devon Sawa kisses earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely make the... Sorry, you go ahead.
Yeah, this movie really is kind of meant to be about, like, obsessive fans and, like, obsessive, like, the connection between, like, celebrities and fans and, like, the media in general. Like, with how, like, a lot of crimes go on with stalking, invading private invading privacy, and just, like, a lot of, like, how people get obsessed with certain people. And that's what this movie's kind of about. And in some ways, it's very, very blatant and very, like, on the nose.
Yeah.
Like, Leah telling, like, man, I can't believe you're a stalker. Ooh, I just got this picture of this one celebrity, and she wasn't wearing a bra. It's, like, it's very much, like, on the nose of, like oh,
yeah, it's trying to say something, but doesn't really convey it that well.
There's a facet, or an item in this movie that I think says a lot and was kind of written over quite a bit. The Starz app.
This app that has all the celebrities' addresses on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's a real thing. People have maps.
Oh, it's a real thing?
Yeah, yeah, that was the entire crux. That app was the entire crux of this movie. And unfortunately, that for Mia being a paparazzi photographer, that shit exists. And unfortunately, it is way too easy to find celebrities and to find their home addresses and personal information, especially for paparazzi.
Yeah.
It's kind of terrifying, and I think that one app, that one item, says so much about the real world, and I think it was kind of written over a little bit.
I mean, like, there's a little bit, but it's still, like, very, like, with how, like, Moose is, like, Leah shows Moose the app, and she shows him as, like, hey, you're obsessed with celebrities, you can get a picture of what their houses look like. And then he takes it as, oh, you want me to go to his house? You want me to know where he lives so I can go there and get my letter to him.
Which I feel was the most irresponsible choice a character has ever made.
Right. Especially since she's supposed to be the one that understands him. Like, you'd think you'd know he's not, like, mature enough on his own to not to go to their house.
Like, on one level, it's like, she's a shitty person too. Like, she's a paparazzi. Yeah. Like, it's like, she, like, tries to, like, tell him not to do things while also doing shitty things on her own that's, like, invading the privacy of celebrities.
Yeah.
And I think there were two characters that made some really awful choices that affected Moose. I think it was Mia and that security guard.
The security guard? It says security on his jacket.
Yeah.
I think, like, both of them made some really awful enabling choices for Moose. First, we just talked about Mia, but that security guy telling him, like, praising him for choking the fuck out of what's his face.
Yeah. I hope something comes down and cuts off your head, and then it rolls onto the street, and a car squishes it, and the blood splatters all over.
Which I think the movie's trying to have a commentary on, like, here's an example of how society fails disabled people. I think is a little bit what they were going for with those two particular things that happened, because if he had a support group, they could put him straight and be like, hey, you're misinterpreting these messages. You need to, like, get real with it. Because people genuinely, like, I knew someone who had a severe learning disability, and she would hug people super tight, and it made people really uncomfortable, but no one said anything because they're like, oh, she's disabled, we need to be kind. It's like, no, a kindness is teaching them, hey, here's my boundaries, otherwise they're never going to learn, and that's how they go to jail.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. There's a big issue with people, like, infantilizing people with disabilities.
Yeah. Just treat them with respect and be like, hey, let me communicate this as a boundary. I'm trying to teach you a mature lesson. Like, my drama teacher in middle school had a son who was autistic, and she was like, this is how you guys need to approach talking to him, because I know my son. Like, everyone's different. And yeah, I don't know what's going with that.
There are people just the same as we are.
Yeah.
We're all people.
Yeah.
We're all people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's so much of a heavy topic for a movie that is not mature enough to handle.
I know.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. So, and this movie, like, the characters, like, at some points try to help Moose and try to help him, but on other times, it's very weird how, like, other characters treat Moose, because, like, there are just times whenever, like, the security guard first shows up, we don't know that he knows Moose. He just immediately comes up and is like, Moose, you're a good guy. You shouldn't, like people just know Moose. Like, there's a number of people that... And it's...
I wasn't too bothered by that, because, like, I felt like it kind of built the world a little bit.
Yeah.
Because people just, like, knew this guy because he kind of goes around everywhere.
Yeah, like, he performs, like, he tries to do, like, a street performance with, like, a police officer, like, a British police officer as, like, a street performance.
Oh, poppycock!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, like, for me, it feels very weird to have, his relationship with other people is either they mock him or they leave him on his own and sometimes give him advice, but then just walk away from him, and it's weird how, like, which is probably, like, realistic to some degree, where it's either people are just assholes or people give very little bit of support and try and be kind, but either do it in very, like, ignorant, very, like, not really helpful ways.
Mm-hmm. If the IMDb trivia is to be believed, the event this movie is based on happened to Fred Durst, and the way that Moose dresses is how the crazy fan looked like.
We all know that IMDb trivia is lore.
Aww.
Is God.
Bit of trivia: John Travolta took the role of Moose as a tribute to his autistic son Jet, who passed away in 2009.
Fuck.
Mm-hmm. Well. Damn, that made me really sad.
Yeah. I wonder, like, how much of this is based on a true story. Like, did someone actually die?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Probably not. That was probably more for
traumatization. Did Fred Durst die?
No, Fred Durst is unfortunately alive and well.
Fred Durst was cheating on his wife, and then the maid died.
Yeah, with Pam Anderson.
A lot of the behavior that Moose does as, like, a crazy fan is, like, he, like, sneaks into parties. He, like, tries to, like, follow, like, Hunter, like, into, like, where he's trying to have a private conversation with his wife, who he's kind of shitty to. And, like, Moose, like, pushes to, like, get more interaction with Hunter Durst. I said Hunter Durst.
Hunter Durst.
That might as well be true. He pushes more and more. He goes to their house where, like, that, like, the house cleaner, like, sees him and she freaks out. And, like, Moose's behavior is very much, if that happened to you, it would be terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, coming at your, like, house and sneaking onto your property.
That's what Katie was saying.
Go ahead.
I'm looking at the soundtrack of IMDb and The Truth, written by Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Never go full Travolta. I believe in that. This movie is just, I don't know, it's great. Whenever I met Devin Sawa, I asked him about it.
Movie?
Yeah, I came, whenever it was my turn, I was at, like, a horror convention, and I went up to him, and he was, as he was signing my Final Destination VHS, I was like, hey, what was The Fanatic like? And he's like, oh man, that movie. That was the end of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gave a generic response.
Yeah, he was just like, oh yeah, it was a lot of fun, you know, it was kind of a wild trip. But you know, we had a lot of fun and people liked it, so I was like, yeah, fair enough.
Like, one thing I noticed when I was like looking at the reviews of this movie is many of them mention critics and how critics like made this like just essentially like said that this movie was shit, and it's a lot of reviews saying how critics are wrong, this movie's amazing, this movie's perfect, and like being an asshole to critics, I'm fine with. I agree with a lot of the time. But like, I don't know. I feel like some of them were just saying it to be like, how dare critics say this, instead of actually liking the movie on its own merit.
Critics should not exist. I hate movie critics because like, now granted, we are a very critical podcast, but you know, we typically cover movies that are usually made to be bad, and you know, I hope we don't go too far into just shitting on these movies, because I feel like we've enjoyed almost all every movie that we've seen except for fucking Ouija 4, Jake.
You're awesome.
And Jack Frost for me.
I still love Jack Frost, man. One and two. But you know, we poke fun at movies, but like, I am an amateur filmmaker and knows how hard it is to make a movie. So, yeah. But critics just take it. Go ahead.
And we're not being like, we're not trying to say here's the objective truth about a movie. We're just saying here's what I felt.
Yeah. And I hope we're not too cynical about it. We just, you know, we like to poke fun at little movies that are specifically made to be bad. Now, we talked about Elvis last episode, but that's just because, you know, we had a lot of silly thoughts about that one. But I generally, I would say that movie's actually good, but we just had some fun with it. But not to veer too much off subject, but yeah, fuck movie critics, because they a lot of the times don't know how movies are made, and they're just being cynical assholes for no reason.
I also think almost every movie can be enjoyed by somebody. There's always an audience for every
movie. Like Eric Siska says on We Hate Movies, it's all right to like a movie.
Gabe, oh my.
There's a hole in my house shoe.
There's a hole in the bottom of Gabe's house shoe.
There's a hole in the bottom of the sea.
Gabe, what are your kind of final thoughts?
We kind of skipped a chunk of the movie.
There's
so like
too much noteworthy.
Yeah, not a whole lot of noteworthy things happen until the end, where
it's a very slow burn.
Yep, it's a slow burn. Moose finally breaks into Hunter Dunbar's house after killing the maid, and then he like goes around touching stuff. He uses Hunter Dunbar's toothbrush and like uses his toilet. Yeah. And then there's Hunter.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
There was the convenience of also Hunter Dunbar having sleep medicine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, conveniently just having melatonin.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Hunter Dunbar, like, gets home, I guess, and then falls asleep. Doesn't notice the dead body in his yard. He then falls asleep, and Moose, like, puts a blanket on him and then kisses his forehead and sleeps in the chair next to him, and then wakes up the next morning and leaves. And then some things happen. He comes back and he ties Hunter to the bed and like imitates setting him on fire by throwing water in a gas can.
Yeah, he does a lot of movie references.
Yeah, like, he comes in as Jason.
and he actually stabs him. Curtis.
Yeah. Yeah, he does actually stab him.
Very lightly, three times. And he's like, oh shit, did I actually stab you?
Go ahead.
Like it gets to the point where like Hunter tries to like plead to let him go. And he like what he does is he manipulates Moose by being like, hey, I'll do anything you want. I'll sign your autographs every single day. I'll do this every single day. I'll do this. And like and in the end, he just says, just don't hurt my son. Which
Moose is like, what the fuck? What do you mean? I wouldn't hurt your son.
It's
And then, yeah, he,
Yeah, it very much goes into, like, I feel like this is part of what Daniel, like, was talking about, how, like, both can be kind of shitty. Or it's like, Hunter mostly cares about his son in this situation. Honestly, his own life, he doesn't care that much about. He cares more about his son.
Yeah, but which is a nice little thing.
Like, you could say him, like using Moose's disability to, like, try and manipulate him could be shitty, but he's also a kidnap victim, so it's...
I was about to say, he's tied to a bed with a knife. Like, I feel like that was a decent strategy to get out of the situation.
Like if you can, might as well.
Yeah, like, yes, the character is disabled and doesn't necessarily think what he's doing is all that wrong, but, like, objectively, the man was kidnapped and tied to a bed. So I feel like him... And, I mean, that's kind of, like, what smarter characters do in those kinds of situations. They reverse psychology and, like, feed into the kidnapper's ego to help get out of the situation. So it's not, like, an uncommon thing. But, yeah, he ends up getting free and then shoots Moose in the hand and stabs him in the eye, which is some pretty interesting effects there. And then then he just, like, lets Moose go. Like, Moose just walks home, and the police show up to Hunter Dunbar's door and arrest him because of the body. Because the gardener had found the body.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, really weird movie. Bit of a short episode, but that's all right. It tries to do a lot of things that it's not prepared for. Some mixed signals as to what we're supposed to think. Terrible dialogue. weird performances. But I enjoy it. It's some fun to me. And I'll put it on every once in a while. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think the dialogue sucks for everyone but the main character. Like, I think that the stuff he says... I have heard someone who's, like, pretty far on the spectrum talk like that before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I felt like his dialogue was at least, like, believable.
Mm.
Even if it wasn't utilized the best way.
Yeah. What are your overall thoughts about this movie?
I think I agree with pretty much everything you just said. I think it's a fine movie. I think I might like it a little bit more than you do, but that is... okay, because I'm probably never going to watch this movie again.
Fair enough.
I think that this is... I think John Travolta carries this entire movie. I think he had a great portrayal. However, it is objectively a bad movie. I do like this movie, though. It is fun. It was interesting to watch. It was a good think piece, for sure.
Which is weird saying about the Fred Durst written and directed movie starring John Travolta.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to hit that hard, you know? But
here we are.
But here we are. Jake, thoughts?
This isn't, like, I think out of us, I like it the least. It's, like, I think there's a lot about it that I don't get why a lot of the side characters don't really matter. They just appear for a few scenes and then disappear. Like, it would have been more interesting if it focused more on Moose and, like, Hunter and, like, there's a lot about this movie that I just feel like is a little bit like padding in an already short movie.
Like you said, it's a short film, really, and they just kind of find random, like, the whole stuff with him as this British police officer on the LA side streets, like, go on for way too long.
Yeah, it's a weird movie. You might have fun, other people might have fun with it, but personally, I just didn't have any fun. I just, it's like, okay, sure. I see what they're doing here. I get this movie. It's okay.
It's also labeled as a thriller. Like, no.
This movie is it's very mild to me. There's no spice to it for me.
There's no spice. But so, yeah, that'll do it for our review of The Fanatic. Katie, do you want to take us to the bits?
I would love nothing more. All right, so I have sacrificed John Travolta to the Oracle of Bacon, and I have John Travolta's bacon number. Would you guys like to guess John Travolta's bacon number?
I'm going with a one.
A one?
I am too.
Interesting. Okay.
This feels like easy. Yeah, this feels like easy points. I'm just gonna say one.
Yeah.
Really? Everybody's going with one?
What if we're all wrong?
Everybody going with one?
That can't be. I mean, we can't all be wrong. Like that, I feel like that's.
You know what? I'm gonna go with zero.
No. How are we all wrong?
He has a bacon number of two. He was in. You're Welcome kidding. He was in Welcome to Hollywood with Jane Jenkins, who was in Apollo 13 with Kevin Bacon. He has never been in a movie with Kevin Bacon.
That feels illegal. Like,
agreed.
That's so weird. Yeah. Interesting.
I guess they're both like leading men kind of characters.
John Travolta is. I feel like Kevin Bacon not so much anymore. He's more a side character. Like, I mean, he was like, you know, Footloose and I think he's in Flatliners, but
yeah.
Are we ready for our second game?
Yes. Yeah, sorry, I was working out one of these reviews.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. All right. So I have randomly generated a random horror movie. That's the only specification I put in is horror. I'm going to give you a bad review, a 1 out of 10 review for this horror movie. You guys are going to try and guess what you think it is. You can either choose to lock in your answer with the bad review and have a possible 2 points, or you can ask for a good review and have a possible 1 point if you get it correct. Everybody familiar with the rules?
Yes.
Cool. Okay, please forgive me. I might jump around a little bit in this review. I want to make sure I'm cutting out any titular information. Okay?
For sure.
So, this review is a 1 out of 10 stars on IMDb. It is titled Star Trek TOS Ripoff. It was written by TierCell1 on the 7th of June 2014.
Oh, huh.
Everyone ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
The original series of Star Trek had this idea a long time ago and did it better. This movie takes that premise and drowns it in a whole lot of stupid. Quote-unquote advanced security cameras as some laughable metal screens and security cameras? Check. Bringing a knife to a gunfight? Check. Using a gun as a melee weapon? Check. Splitting up protagonists to wander alone under siege danger situation? Check. Depending on guns for your family to defend themselves, but with no particular evidence any of them are trained to use guns or are trusted for much of the movie to have or use a gun until it's dramatically appropriate. Check. I want to do this one thing, but I will pause to gloat and pose about it when I'm actually about to accomplish set action, so I can be completely unsurprisingly shot from behind at the last moment. Check. More than once, also. Let me compromise the supposed safety of our quote-unquote secure home to let a total stranger in. Check. I drive a creepy remote-controlled Chucky doll spy cam around my own home to no real end. Check. Creepy older possessive boyfriend thinking if I kill my hot younger girlfriend's dad, then I will win her heart or at least her body. Check. Bonus points for this being then essentially unimportant for the rest of the movie once the boyfriend is summarily killed. For the crime of attacking a protagonist. One could go on, but most egregiously, the movie gives us one percenter protagonists who feel entitled to hold themselves above the violence, one percenter antagonists who feel entitled to cleanse society of lesser members, and more one percenter antagonists who want to take vengeance on our unsympathetic protagonists for being slightly richer than they are. The best case scenario would be the tough, apparently innocent veteran being the only survivor when all the unsympathetic characters, with all the unsympathetic characters killing each other off. Spoiler, though, this does not happen.
So that was so much information.
I know it.
No, don't. Okay, don't say anything, though.
I'm not saying it yet, no.
What?
Ooh, I got an idea. I got an idea.
Okay.
Jake, with your answer, are you willing to lock it in? Are you that confident in it?
Yes, and like, if we want, we can make this a secret where I can like secretly message you my answer.
I was going to have you DM me, and.
Or yeah, we can like deafen it. Ourselves.
No, I don't trust that.
Oh, okay.
Jake, message me your answer, and that will be you locking it in. Okay.
And then you reveal it after.
Yeah. I will reveal it after.
Yep.
What the actual fuck? I want to say, like, you're next, but I don't know if that's right.
Interesting.
My first thought was Lost in Space.
Lost in the Woods?
Lost in the Woods? The 2021 film from GMC Films?
Oh, Lost in Space.
Okay.
Yeah, so it said Star Trek had this idea. A long time ago.
And did it much better.
I mean, I don't watch Star Trek, so I wouldn't.
It's got to be a sci-fi horror movie of some kind.
Yeah, it's sci-fi, I would assume. Fuck, man. I don't know why I don't know this. I probably will during this next review. Yeah, just give me a good review for.
I'm going to lock mine in as Lost in Space, even though
Lost in Space.
Wrong.
You're locking that in?
The only, I would say, like, it could be it if it was more of a horror movie. There's scary aspects to it, but I don't think it's under the genre of horror.
Chimps in space.
Okay.
Space chimps, sorry.
So, Daniel, you're locked in.
Yes.
Okay. Ready, Gabe?
Yeah, I'm going to be mad at myself for not.
This is much.
Okay. Yeah.
And let me know if this didn't help you at all.
Okay.
And because I'm not sure if this will help you at all, and I might find you a better one, okay? This is a 10 out of 10 review titled Storyline, written by Shay2712, written on the 20th of August, 2023. Ready?
Yeah.
One of the creepiest movies I've seen in a while in terms of the storyline. The storyline could have been written better, but how it was played out in the movie was good with all the effects used. Ethan Hawke is such an amazing actor for these kinds of storylines and movies, although I wish he had a bit more action in this movie, and the movie in general could have used a little bit more action, but it was still good. I also think the storyline maybe had... could have maybe had more detail in it, just looking at how...
This isn't The Purge, is it?
You think it's The Purge?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going with that?
Yeah, I'm going with that.
Going with that? Okay. Everybody's locked in. Jake? You texted me your answer. Daniel, you're going with Lost in Space. And Gabe is The Purge, correct? Yeah. All right. Jake and Gabe, you're both correct.
Yeah.
But Jake got it first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the Ethan Hawke immediately let me know. Yeah.
Yeah. That was probably the only thing that you maybe needed.
See, the Star Trek thing was throwing me off because really? I'm like, this has to be like a space kind of movie. But no, they did do like a like what if murder was legal for whatever amount of time. Interesting.
I should love this idea of locking in answers by messaging.
But now, I like that. I completely forgot about the shitty boyfriend that fucking dies.
I'm just so good at this, to be honest. It's so easy.
Okay, let's kick him out of the Discord.
Next time, it's gonna be Night Swim.
God damn it.
Do stop motion next time. Also, if you guys haven't seen stop motion, please go watch
stop motion. It's so good.
All right, that is the end of my bits. Cool. Good job, everybody. Claps all around.
I'm mad that I didn't get it on the first one.
Yeah, you usually do.
I haven't seen the first Purge in so long.
Proud of you for getting there eventually.
Thank you. I say the first Purge, but that's an actual movie too. Purge number one. But yeah, thank you guys for listening to today's episode. If you like this, go check us out on any other streaming platform if you would like. Follow us on our socials at Instagram and Facebook. Send us an email, bottomofthebarrelpod@gmail.com. 2Ls on the Instagram and email. Follow us on TikTok and Twitter. And have a good evening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.